What's the title? What's the relation with the film? Why that title?
Well, it's actually, the title came from the rap song that we had written for this film. And the rapper has this, I think, very clever line in it where he says, this is the new national bird. Its wingspan is 66 feet. Sorry, bald eagle, you're obsolete. And when Wim Wenders saw a cut of the film, a rough cut of the film, he was saying, wow, that's a really good title. You should make this the title of your song, so of your film. So that's why we actually, you know, we thought, yeah, it's a good match. So we made National Bird the title of our film.
Okay, are there already questions in the audience? Okay, yeah.
Someone do something about the volume?
Oh, is it too low? Okay, we'll fix that.
Hi, I'm Finn Halligan from Screen Daily. I just wanted to, first of all, ask how old Heather was. She seems so young. And the second question was whether you at any point, I'm not arguing with anything that you've presented here, but whether there was ever going to be an idea that you would have a defense or an explanation of the drone, you know, that you would have the other side of the story, basically, or attempt.
So do you mean how old Heather was when she was giving the interviews, or when she was sitting her missions? Her sitting her missions, probably, right? Yeah, I believe I would have to look back 20 or 21 years old. So a lot of the analysts who are doing her job, imagery analysts, are between 18 and 25. So they're all very young. So I think she's very representative of the people who are doing, you know, her job. And the other side, well, I went out into the film and into research, you know, not making a one-sided film. I didn't, you know, I hope that everyone sees in it that the film is, you know, from my perspective, it's balanced. My protagonists in the film, they actually, you know, they don't see drones or drone warfare as complete, well, drones as black and white. Daniel has this one soundbite in the film where he says, you know, some people in the anti-drone community just, you know, they don't understand that, you know, drones are going to be a part of our lives pretty soon. And, you know, when he talks about, you know, kind of, you know, rescue missions, search missions, you know, disaster relief, where you have, you know, this type of surveillance. And Heather actually was doing some of that as well. So all three of my protagonists say that you can use drones for something good. So to me, it is not really, you know, one side or the other. But if you particularly mean, you know, the military, so I actually wanted to film on a drone base, and we actually, you know, Ines, my producer, and I, we sent out requests for many of the base, Creech Air Force Base, Beale Air Force Base, and they just delayed us, and then we gave them more deadlines. You know, I mean, we've been trying for months and months and months to get in, and they wouldn't let us. Unfortunately, we would have really, you know, like to include that as well, but I think it was great that we had, you know, General Stanley McChrystal, who has a very you know, balancing soundbite in the film, but he, you know, he's very thoughtful, I think, about the issue of drone warfare.
Hello, Henry Barnes from The Guardian here. I was really intrigued by the idea that there aren't many therapists that deal in PTSD that have security clearance that can talk to these people and help them out. Is that something that's changed and is getting better?
Well, it's very hard to get this type of information, really. I think the most difficult was really to find these psychiatrists who have clearance. From my understanding, it hasn't changed a whole lot, but what has changed for sure is, you know, with Heather, and I, you know, we do believe that she is one of the first, you know, in her career field to have received this kind of acknowledgement. And so from Heather, and from, you know, she's still in touch with some of her, you know, fellow airmen, and there are a lot of them who are struggling with the same issues, and there is more, yeah, more awareness for these types of issues. But you know, some of her fellow airmen have actually took their own lives, so it really is an important issue that the military has to address, I think.
I represent 12 drone whistleblowers, and three of them are in this film, and all of them, all 12, suffer from PTSD. And a number of them have encountered the argument that because they were not boots on the ground, they couldn't really have PTSD. So the ruling in Heather's favor is very significant, but a lot of other people are fighting for benefits. And meanwhile, most of them are unemployed. Most of them are dealing with addiction issues. Most of them have dealt with suicidal ideation and broken families and broken marriages in addition to their PTSD. So it's a very important issue.
Other questions?
Which one?
Yeah, well, this one here in the front first, and then we'll work our way up.
I have a question about the chronology of the film. Did you meet the lawyer first and then the people of your film, or the opposite?
Mm-hmm. Should I answer that? I found my protagonist first, and actually the chronology that you see in the film is very real. We had filmed with Heather for I would say close to a year or three quarters of a year already when she wrote her Guardian article. So I found all three of my protagonists through research, not through an organization, and I introduced them to Jesslyn Radack.
And unfortunately, it became clear that as things progressed, as you can see with Daniel especially, but also for Heather, there were legal issues that came up in terms of the United States trying to retaliate against them for even blowing the whistle in a very low level sort of way. So I hope that doesn't continue with the release of this movie. I hope it doesn't reignite some of what they've already been through.
And I have something to add there too. So what I also really liked about Sonia's research when I came on board, she was always very concerned about the protagonists from the very first day she worked with them. And she was the one who pushed for legal representation, because I think a lot of people don't know the first thing you need to do when you're going into this subject matter, you need to have a lawyer. And they wanted to talk, but they didn't really go out and seek out Jesslyn. So this was something that Sonia took care of, which I really appreciated, you know. So there was a really great representation for them from the beginning.
Yeah, can I just add to that? So I've worked with these types of stories before, and when I started research on this drone war documentary, very early on in the development, I actually hired a legal counsel with my very, very first development funds, and this was very low budget in the beginning. So I hired a legal counsel who I think is one of the best in his field, he's an expert on First Amendment rights, Frank Dean in New York, but I didn't just want to have my own lawyer, but I also wanted my protagonist, you know, to have their own legal counsel, even though I told my lawyer from the beginning on, the most important for me is that my protagonists are safe, and that was just very important to me.
Yeah,
I have just two little questions. You mentioned three cases in your film. Can you tell us or give us a better idea how many people could be affected by this sort of experience? How many people are working in the drone industry or activities? Are we talking about three isolated cases, 20%, 40%? Can you give us a better figure that we could also balance our report? Secondly, I would also like to know whether you have been you used a drone for filming part of the film, and if that was the case, can you tell us a bit more about that?
So the numbers, that's very difficult, and I actually wish and I would support you if you, you know, ask this question, that you would ask the Air Force and the military. I just know from the three people who are in my film and additional people that I've talked to who've been in different positions in the drone program, and Jesslyn can probably add to that, that, you know, PTSD is a huge problem. There are no statistics. I mean, we don't know how large the program is overall. And that's part of the reason I made this film, because I wanted to bring more transparency into a program that has, you know, stayed so secret for such a long time. And I think it's absolutely necessary that there is, you know, a discussion, you know, amongst us, among, you know, the public, our societies, about the use of these weapons, because it will continue, and I think it will expand and will expand to other countries. And I wish we had more facts and more numbers. I don't want to say anything right now, because I would, you know, I just, you know, the military is not giving out a lot of information. I mean, I've done Freedom of Information Act requests that, you know, have been delayed or denied, and it's very difficult to get more information.
But we should add that what we do know is that they are at this moment heavily recruiting for this program. The turnover is so high, people, you know, don't last very long, and maybe you have some more information on that, that they are really recruiting heavily. They are expanding missions, they need more and more people that come into this program, so that they're now going into the civilian civilian companies.
A lot of the drone work right now, you would need to check not only with the Air Force, but you would also need to check with the CIA, which is running a lot of these operations. And now you would have to check with private contractors, because there are so few people in the military who are willing to be in this program and stay in this program. There are so few people that they are literally getting people with actually no military experience to fly drones from private contractors. In terms of the numbers, I've heard, ballpark of 1,000, but again, the actual number is classified and unavailable. You're welcome to do a Freedom of Information Act and try to get it, but I've not been able to.
And as far as our drone is concerned, we had a $1,300 drone that we shot some of the aerial footage with, and then we also had a shoot with a helicopter. So so we did some aerial photography because we thought that was very appropriate, and I hope he liked it.
Yeah, what we are trying to do with that, it's kind of obvious, but we are trying to turn the lens and turn the camera around to make people understand in America how it is like to be watched, and how, you know, what kind of intrusion of privacy this is. Because I think what's important, what, you know, the protagonist is, in particular Lisa, is saying in the film, is that it's not just a drone, it's this whole system of surveillance that belongs to it, or actually the drone belongs to this system that is a weapon system in its own right. And it has been, I think, you know, not a lot of people have, you know about it, and know that, you know, there's this network, this system that is, you know, can watch people. And that's what we're trying to do with these shots that were not that easy to make, because restrictions in the US are getting, you know, stronger, which, you know, is probably good.
We have time for two more questions.
Was it Pat?